This week, a massive ransomware attack spread across the globe quickly, infecting hundreds of thousands of computers. How did it start? Should you be worried about it? And how can you avoid it? Well, on the line, I have Tim Falinski from Trend Micro Australia to help with these questions. G'day, Tim.
Hi, Andy.
Now, firstly, can you explain this outbreak of ransomware? I mean, we've been talking a lot about ransomware for years now. Is it different to any other ransomware that's out there at the moment threatening users? Or what exactly did it do to computers?
Well, Andy, as a bit of ransomware, it did what every other bit of ransomware does. And as it got onto people's machines, it actually encrypted and locked the files. So therefore, the only way that people could get access to the information on their computer was if they paid the ransom. And even then, as we know, in 4 out of 5 cases, you still don't even get the encryption code to de-encrypt it. What made this one interesting is that there was a hole in some old versions of Microsoft that the cyber criminals exploited. So therefore, if your computer was attached as a part of a network, what it was able to do was jump from computer to computer, basically, using this exploit. So to get ransomware in general, you need to click on a malicious link, download and run the software on your computer. But what happened here is that if someone in your home or someone in business opened it up and installed the ransomware on their computer, it could then move from computer to computer inside that home network or office network without the other users doing anything. So this addition of what we term a worm-like feature made this one particularly bad, and that's why we saw things happen like in the UK where the whole National Health Service got brought down because of its ability to spread. As a home user, though, and us as individuals, we still need to be careful, though, because this is another type of ransomware that's out there that's attacking us day to day.
So looking back at the UK, when you say the entire sort of National Health Service went down, so that's propagated from just one user clicking on something they shouldn't have clicked and it just going out from there.
In theory, it can be as low as one user.
Right.
In the particular case of NHS, there may have been multiple users there. We actually don't know at this stage. But yes, effectively, if one user had downloaded that and it got onto the machine, it would have jumped through the network because all those hospitals are connected, all those offices are connected, and over time spread itself around. And understand that this doesn't take a slow time.
No.
You know, you're talking about computer speed here.
Yeah.
So it can spread very, very quickly. So what we were finding is the businesses that were getting infected, it was spreading, as we would term, like wildfire in Australia, and it was very, very hard. So they were having to shut down complete networks, which is what happened in the UK, to stop the spread and then slowly bring it back up to make sure that they weren't spreading the virus any further.
Now, we've been hearing a lot about countries like the UK and Germany, Russia, Europe, all being infected. And looking at a map of how this spread, Australia, well, it doesn't seem to be really on that map. How is it that Australia has maybe not 100% escaped, but been able to avoid the mass infection that other countries felt?
Well, Andy, this is where that old saying that Australia is a lucky country did definitely come home to help us. So this outbreak and them launching this started very, very late on a Friday night, Saturday morning on the weekend. And therefore, what happened is by the time most people got to their offices on Monday, a lot of IT departments had spent most of the weekend working and ensuring that the patching was up and running. So therefore, it stopped this virus coming in. So we were very, very fortunate due to the timing on this. If this had been launched on a Wednesday or a Thursday, so therefore people were back in their offices the next morning, potentially would have seen a much larger impact. But I also do want to say one thing is that there's been a lot of attention in the media on talking about this at a business level, and yes, many, many businesses didn't get hit and key infrastructure didn't get hit. The problem is that we also haven't spent a lot of time talking about small businesses and home users, and we haven't seen those impacts yet come out and found out how many people have been hit by that. And from recent research that we've done at the end of last year, we're seeing that something like 1 in 5 people in Australia as home users have had a form of ransomware on their computers. So this one, I'm sure, definitely would have been out there, and some of your listeners would have been hit by this WannaCry ransomware.
So how do users protect themselves against ransomware? We're assuming we're not talking about at company level where that's really out of their hands to some degree, but actual home users.
It's interesting with this bit of ransomware, it probably highlights some of the key parts. First of all, and I think a very, very key, is we recommend people to have a strong backup philosophy. So therefore, you should be backing up weekly, at least monthly, all your key data. Because at the end of the day, that's what ransomware does. It encrypts your data, but if you've got a backup copy, you can just wipe your computer and reload it up and start again, and everything's there for you to use. So having a good backup regime is something that's very, very important. The other thing that this particular ransomware calls out is they're using issues in security holes of software. So using and running those updates that you get with Windows, with Microsoft Office, and all those other kind of patches that come out from software vendors, it's very, very important to do that. Most of those patches are out there are plugging security holes. A lot of them are also updating drivers, but you need to do those updates on a regular basis and ensure your system is updated. Because if your systems were updated, even though one computer might have been infected, it would not have been able to spread to other computers in the network. And finally, you know, you need to have good vigilance. At the end of the day, the ransomware can still get on a machine, even if you do part A and part B. And even if you've got a backup, the biggest cost out of this WannaCry ransomware we're seeing globally is the amount of overtime that's been paid to IT departments to prepare, and for the ones that have been infected, the cost to actually reload and recreate systems from backups. It is a time-consuming exercise for people to go through. So really make sure that you are vigilant and don't click on links and emails that you don't know where it's from. Have a think about what goes on. There's so much spam coming out now. We're about to go to tax time. I'm sure people are going to start seeing emails from the ATO about tax refunds and filling in paperwork, and the ATO doesn't send out stuff like that. So don't click on those links, because that's how you're getting the viruses on your computer. And finally, what we also recommend, naturally, is to have a good layer protection suite on your computer to help you back up from that. You know, our network in itself is able to shut down within 4 hours any new threat globally that comes out there that enables users to know about a threat. So even if you get an email and you see a link and you click on it, we will stop that virus coming through to you and warn you that this is a known bad site to stop that ransomware getting into your computer to start with.
Great. And I guess if it does happen to someone, that they've clicked on something and they get that message saying, hey, your files have been locked out or something like that, as we've seen with the recent ransomware attacks, what should they do?
It's a very tight line for us here. So we really do not recommend people to pay the ransom, because what we see, as I said, in over 80% of the cases, paying the ransom does not lead you to getting the encryption code to unlock your data. What we do recommend is to go and see a professional. Basically, at the end of the day, you will need to wipe out your computer and reload it and start again. And it's a very unfortunate thing to have happen, but paying the ransom is not actually going to lead, in the majority of cases, to you being able to undo it. And it's at a point where you're just going to have to start your rebuild again. And that's why it's important, I think, to have that backup of that core data, your core information. You can reload Microsoft Windows, you can reload Microsoft Office, but you can't reload your photos and other files, the things that are precious to you in your memories. Make sure you take up a backup of those. And then any computer professional will definitely be able to help you reset and reformat your computer to get rid of the virus.
Excellent. Some good advice there, Tim. And thanks for the update. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Andy.